So I was invited to talk, I think because I have been fairly successful online, and I guess also from the assumption that I would learn from mistakes, that I would have something to share. And for me, the big question is why would you want to participate in social media? It's incredibly time-consuming. People will be very cruel to you. And so why would you want to do this? And for me, it was a challenge for me because I wanted to be a better writer. And the way to be a better writer is to write. And the really great thing about being online is that when you write, you will get immediate feedback. It may not be nice feedback, but you will get immediate feedback, and people will tell you whether you're actually communicating effectively. So in terms of the why, your motivation will vary, but more than anything else, it's because you want to participate in communication. You want to talk to people and you want to have a conversation. And one of the themes that I'll return to over and over again is that it is about a conversation. It's not just one-way communication. I'm also in the middle of a survey of bug bloggers. If you happen to have a blog that's bug-related, please participate. And I thought you might be interested in some preliminary data. I'm actually almost at 100 blogs now. And almost all of the people who are blogging say the same thing, which is that the majority of them are really interested in communicating their love for insects and their science to the general public. And so in internet speak, they have some really common marketing terms. And the way that we have communicated science in the past is a very traditional push model. There's an expert. And the expert produces information, and that information is super jargony, it's incredibly technical, it's behind a paywall, and I would include a lot of extension publications, frankly, that you have to pay for in this. Not the jargony part, but the fact that you have to pay for it and it's protected. And maybe if you're really lucky, it'll be released as news. But for the most part, it's information that's broadcast, and the public has no reason to listen to us. It doesn't have a relevance to their daily life, and it's part of billions and billions of pieces of information that are being shot at them 24/7. And our information does not have cleavage, it does not blow up, it's not nearly as interesting as it could be. So the cool thing about social media and blogging is that it completely breaks the old model, where the expert is broadcasting received knowledge, and it turns it into what's called a pull model, so that you're creating interesting things that pull people in, and they interact with it, and you have a two-way conversation. So you're not lecturing, you're conversing, and you're exchanging information. And the best part of this is, again, that feedback piece, you can put things out there and you think you've explained it well, and they'll go, yeah, we have no idea what you're talking about. Or you put it out there and they'll say, well, that's really nice, but we don't really give a flip. Here's what we want to know, so tell us this. So this lets you target your message and make sure that the stuff that you're producing is really relevant to people. So, one thing you might wonder, who are my competitors? I tossed out Dragonfly Woman, another woman that blogs about bugs. Alex, unfortunately couldn't be here, Myrmicos. Bug Guide, huge online resource, and unfortunately Eric couldn't be here either, Mr. Bug Guide. And if you want to be super ambitious, you can think about Carl Zimmer, a science writer that produces a great deal of content. And I would argue that, oh, I forgot, the USDA blog. USDA has a very successful blog as well. These are not competitors. And if we're thinking of this as a win, a game that you can win, then you're going about it the wrong way. We're all collaborating because we're all doing the same thing. We're trying to get regular folks interested in science and bugs. My real competitors are these people. These are the people who are inhibiting our messages, and in some places are putting out competing messages. So it's really important that we see it as a community effort. And to think about this, it's not public outreach, it's engagement. If you're outreaching, I'm still just throwing information out there, but if it's engagement, I throw it out there and it hits somebody, and they throw it back, or they respond to it in some way. So it's really creating that two-way communication street. The other thing that I thought maybe they wanted me to talk a little bit about is why was I successful? And I actually, for the last 4 years or so, I was ranked in the top 50 science blogs in the world, which is pretty awesome for a freaky broad with blue hair. So I did pretty well. And I thought about how it was that I actually accomplished that. Some of it was plain and simple dumb luck, which is basically, honestly, I think about how half of science happens anyway. So blue water is a term in the internet that basically means when I started, there was nobody else there, and so there was no competition. It was an empty niche. And so I established a lot of really early name recognition. Somebody who started now would be in red water. It's bloody, there's sharks, it's highly competitive. So if you're going to start now, you need to be really clear about what your special message is and what's unique about you. The other thing I did that falls in the dumb luck category was I chose something at the beginning of the alphabet for my blog name. So in lists, I always am at the top. I also had strategic alliances. I don't know, anybody here heard of Skeptic at all? A few? Okay, some. So I get normally 1,000 people a day visit my blog. Skeptic gets 15,000 people a day. Over the course of my last few blogging years, I've had 1 million readers. Skeptic has had 9 million readers. So because I am affiliated with that site and I cross-blog back and forth, I get a huge additional audience. I'm also part of a foundation that we spun off, WTF. That stands for Women Thinking Free. I'm shocked. So we're very active and do outreach campaigns. We sponsor vaccination campaigns. So that's another additional way that we can be involved in spreading science. And then some of these photos here are a really fun project that we do, which is basically we go to science fiction conventions, which are major freak fests. I mean, seriously, this is nothing. We sit up there, and so I usually do this with P.C. Myers and Greg Layden, and we answer questions, and people just fire questions at us. I read this on the internet. Is it BS? Yes. Yes, it is. So it's a lot of fun, and it really, again, extends that audience. The other thing that was really important to me and part of why I started blogging was I really wanted to train myself to stop using jargon, and especially academic speak. There's a real style of writing in academia that's boring as hell. Basically. People are nodding, just so you know. So one of the really exciting things that happened was I was named to the top 10 great blogs you've probably never heard of, which doesn't sound that exciting, but John Swift is actually a professional humor writer who regrettably died recently, but this was really awesome, and I was the only science blog on that list. In fact, if you look at the data, Technorati does surveys every year, 2% of the entire blogosphere is science. So it's a very tiny piece of the whole blogosphere pie that is, frankly, Jessica Alba's boobs and football and Glenn Beck, the guys I was showing you before. So it's a very small thing, but if you can make it entertaining, people will interact with it. And part of that is engaging them. And being engaging is developing a distinct voice. John Rennie is a buddy that writes for The Guardian. My voice is distinct in the sense that there's a lot of F words and some other things. But it was important to me to say things that I thought needed to be said. And also, these days I'm in the provost's office. You can't drop the F-bomb in there. So I needed an outlet, and I needed a place to stay connected to what I really cared about. And it's apparently advancing itself. That's interesting. All right, well, I can work with it. I also take a really activist stance, so this is one of the many devices that I have said is bogus. It claims to generate an ion field that will repel insects with no power source whatsoever. I actually bought some of these and saw it's a purple block of plastic with triangles. I mean, it's nothing. Also, I don't know why that fly has a gun. but so I really will call people out and be very aggressive about saying the thing that you're selling, it's bullshit. One of the things that you're going to want to do if you're going to get involved in social media, and we've had a few people talk about this, is assessing your impact. If you're going to put all this time and energy into it, you want to know, are you having an effect? There's a whole bunch of different ways you can do that. There's quantitative ways that you can do that, where you can count how many friends you have on Facebook, how many people follow you on Twitter. And actually, I'm pretty excited. I've actually been doing really well. I'm getting close to breaking the 4,000 barrier on a couple of these. That's something that you can simply track. There's also rating services, and I'm going to look at Clout just because it's new and people are talking about it a lot. So you can get a Clout number that tells you, in theory, how influential you are online. And it will track over time and give you nice little graphs. The problem is, this number, we don't know, it's a magic number, and we don't know whose hind end it got pulled out of or how it's generated in any way, shape, or form. So it can go up and down, and you don't know. You can benchmark yourself against different people. And so just for the heck of it, I picked John Cusack. Because, and honestly, finding out my Clout score was similar to John Cusack's was a really good day. and I picked some other people, Alex, Rebecca Frank, and Carl Zimmer, just to kind of show that, that's kind of the field that I'm playing in. The thing is, though, when you have numbers like this, it encourages competition. It's not a competition. So Alex and I retroactively link back and forth, and I link to the USDA blog because we want to share traffic. We want to share eyeballs. It's not about, the one with the most followers wins. You can also have qualitative measures of success, which are way more fun to track. And I'm so proud of being able to convince people that spiders are cute. I can't tell you that how excited that made me. Sometimes some of these may be things that you may not want to show your boss if you're trying to say that, hey, look, I influenced my sex professor. She's actually a PhD researcher at the Kinsey Institute, but yeah. So you can have these measures of success that will mean a lot to you, and especially if you're doing this as something for your tenure, you want to save these, and you want to have a plan on how you're going to save these. You may have little victories. So I convinced Nature that bed bug is two words. so, yeah, that's a very little victory, believe me. And you can make fun of people, like using a striped stink bug as a bed bug, for example, and then they'll actually update their materials. So you can have a lot of, you can actually make change, and it's really exciting to do something and then to immediately see change happen. I also screwed up a lot of stuff because that's, who doesn't really? I didn't register a domain name when I started, so now I'm kind of stuck with this very awkward domain. If you haven't registered your domain name that is your name, do it now, because you just never know. You might want it later. And you certainly don't want anybody using your name to make some sort of spoof site, which we'll get to that in a second. I didn't use a pseudonym that's really unique. And so there's an Australian rock band called Bug Girl that probably a good percentage of people that show up on my site are like, this isn't a band. What the? So that's another thing to think about. And one thing that part of this is just my jobs have really sucked a lot of my time. If you're going to participate in social media, you have to really participate. You have to comment on other people's blogs. And you have to give them the feedback that you want them to give you. And you have to give them the support that you want them to give you. There are a lot of things I did not expect. I did not expect that I needed to have a whole page that says, please do not take pictures of your scrofulous, scabby butt and mail it to me and ask me to diagnose you. I get a lot of that. I talk to a lot of other people that get some of that, but I think probably just as a consequence of my connections to other bloggers, I get a lot of referrals that I really don't want. And the other thing is that people will be very cruel. And these are some of the nicer things, honestly, that people have said about me online. And one of these people actually went on to make a whole website to demonstrate how stupid I was. And so you have to have a thick skin, and you have to be able to separate really horrible things people say about you from who you really are and the work that you're trying to do. And sometimes that's really hard. That can be part of why this takes a lot of time, because when you get something like this, you have to walk away and just spend some time going, I can't say out loud what I would say, but you know. So that can be really grueling and hard, especially if you are a woman online, because almost everything you will get as a woman online will relate to your sexuality. And either, I'll tell you later. The happy thing, though, I had no idea how much fun this was going to be and how many great friends that I would have. I mean, there are so many people here at the ESA that I have met that only know me online, and that I'm able to have friendships with people pretty much everywhere in the world. And when I'm at the science fiction conventions there, I'll meet people there who are not scientists, who are teachers or who do other things, and they're just like, oh, you're Bug Girls, that's so awesome, I love that thing you wrote about pubic lice. So it's really wonderful, and I feel like I could go into any town and I would be able to find somebody near there that I could go have coffee with, or maybe even would let me crash on their couch. So it really is a community in that sense as well, that you'll make connections with people and you'll be able to solve problems for them and to really help them out. And to make a real connection with them. The connections you make online can be every bit as much as connections you make in real life. So, how can you become an online entomology goddess? Obviously, by a wig. So, you have to find your blue water. You have to find what is the really unique thing that you have to say. This may be easier for some folks than others because you may have a message. You know, if getting back to my extension roots, you may have something that you really want to communicate, and that's what you want to focus on. Finding that is really important because you want to feel good about the stuff that you're putting out there. Finding your voice. You need to be passionate because it's your passion for what you're writing and what you're writing about that people will respond to. The other piece of that is you cannot rely on other people to motivate you to write. If you're looking for validation from the internet, especially positive validation, that may not happen. So you have to be self-motivated and you have to do it because you want to do it. If you're managing people and you decide we need to have a social media presence, don't just grab some poor schmuck and say, hey, yeah, you're the social media guy now. Because it has to be somebody who has a passion for communicating, a passion for people that really cares about what they're saying. Thick skin? Yeah, I can give you some more examples, but people will be cruel. If you have even read a newspaper site, you know, don't read the comments, your head will explode. So it's really difficult, and you'll have to develop a way to cope with that. It will take a lot more energy than you expect. Because the more people you talk to, the more people that want to talk to you, and it creates this feedback loop, which is a good problem to have. But also, you don't know how some of the things that happen are going to affect you, and you have to really find a place where you can say, okay, this is my time now, and set some limits, and decide how much of your life you're going to let this suck up. And this is the traditional last, So not really so much the profit part, but it's, you can, if you try, the biggest thing you can do, and especially if you are a student, you can establish yourself as, with some name recognition, being able to show, yes, I can write, yes, I can communicate well, those are all things that are going to reflect on you positively. And if you collect all of this over a period of years, you're going to have a really awesome-looking portfolio, which is also all tax-deductible. I hope that you guys will think about it. I left all of the technical stuff. I will later, after Thanksgiving, should have something up that will talk about how do you measure impact in terms of all of the online tools, other things that you can do. There are scheduling posting things that you can do that will actually let you appear to be online all the time when you're really like kicking back watching Netflix. So there's a lot of other things. If you hit the blog, I'll tell you all about it. Questions?
Yeah,
and don't forget the handouts. Yeah.
So one of the things, I used to be a blogger,
it got better.
But I used to be a blogger, and the reason why I started was so I could understand primary literature, because I fortified translating primary literature into everyday language to actually force yourself to understand.
Yes, excellent. That's very true. So, yeah, that the biggest thing that freaks administrators out about Facebook and social media is that they have no control. They have no control, none. The second you upload something to the internet, it is out of your control forever. And that freaks them out, because what they think of is somebody will post something and then we'll get sued. Honestly, my advice would be there's a million free places that you can start a blog. Do it. Ask for permission later. But I totally didn't say that. Seriously, because if you do it, then what you're going to do is you're going to have built it and show, hey, look at this cool thing we're doing. You were totally okay with that, right, now that we're really successful? And of course they're going to say, yeah. Oh, I'm not an expert in anything. It's never stopped me. Well, there's a couple of ways to deal with that. And honestly, to reiterate the permanence piece, if you've never heard of the Wayback Machine, basically everything online is being archived. So I can go back and get my very sad 1992 very basic web page and find it. And so it is there forever. The thing is, if you do something that's incorrect, you go back and you change it and you acknowledge, hey, I got new information, so I'm taking back what I said. Because if you're willing to, honestly, a lot of what people look for, at least speaking for me on search committees, is people who are willing to admit that they're not perfect. And that they could make a mistake and will own up to that. So it's really, some of it is knowing that there will always be one schmuck who will be like, you didn't use an apostrophe in the T in, when you said to. It should have been, it should have been T-O instead of T-O-O. And there will always be somebody who will flip out about that. But there will also be a whole bunch of other people who will say, wow, that was really interesting. Did you think about this? And so it's being willing to engage in that, but also realizing, honestly, if you start a blog, it's going to take a year before anybody really begins to pick it up. And you can change that by commenting on other people's blogs, because then they see, hey, this person made an interesting comment. Look, their name is linked. I'll click that link. And then suddenly they're looking at things that you've put out. But again, it gets back to you have to be self-motivated, and doing it for a reason that motivates you, like challenging yourself to take, and that's part of what I do, is take really complex technical papers and try and translate them into actual human speak. I'm sorry, there are some papers that I can tell they're really fascinating, but seriously, I read them three times and my head hurts. So I know that nobody, I have friends who are astrophysicists, and I know that even though those people are incredibly smart, they cannot pick up this paper and read it because it's not in their discipline, and it's so narrowly couched in our language that we understand, but nobody else does. I'm digressing a little bit, but it's, I hate to sound like Nike, but just do it.